Welcome everyone to the Members Club for July 2016. This month we are going to be covering the topic of procrastination. I think in whatever form this comes into your life, whether it's on a minor level or a major level, it definitely affects us all at some times in our life. Procrastination can come in many different forms, which we're going to go through in the class today. And some of us may think we don't procrastinate, but when we put anything off for whatever reasons it might be, even sometimes when we think that we have legitimate reasons for it, we can sometimes find that we're actually in fact procrastinating. So as we are in the Members Club and we're all working towards our goals and, you know, finishing tasks and achieving success to create a better and, I suppose, a happier life for ourselves, it's important that we do look at this area so that we clear out any blocks we might have along the way. So my hope with the Members Club is to do, you know, an area like this of block, and then the following month we'll do something of creation, then we might go back to another block. The following month we'll do an area of creation and how to move forward. So we're dealing with everything as we go along, and hopefully these will be things that you can do within your own time over the next 30 days, or we've 31 days in July, without pressure, by the way, with a lot of self-compassion. Don't be being hard on yourself. Don't put yourself under pressure. You know, come on over to the Facebook group and put any of your questions there that I can answer them every day if I can help. And obviously we're going to do the goal setting session as well, and the Q&A once a month in the Members Club, which I'll be giving you the date for soon enough. So we'll get started. So what I would advise at the moment is to get out your workbook that we have, and we're going to talk through the areas of this, explain a little bit more about it, and hopefully get you to a place where you can fill out the workbook, maybe during this audio class or after if it's something that you want to do as well. And take your time with it. You also have a screensaver, so I'd advise you to either upload that as a screensaver onto your mobile phone, your smartphone, or an iPad, or your laptop, or computer, or all of those methods. And this is just a reminder every day of a kind of an affirmation, if you want to say, or a mantra that you can follow. Then I've given you as well a 30-day positive living plan. So this is just 30 days of different things that you could do every day. Keep yourself on track. Keep yourself motivated. Again, as much as you can do, and particularly because we're dealing with the month of procrastination here, it is important that we keep ourselves motivated, but not doing it as it just becomes something we have to do and we put ourselves under pressure and we feel guilty if we don't. Work as best as you can within the lifestyle that you have at the moment, but try your best to get the tasks done so you will feel better. And that's what this is all about. There's no point doing things that are going to make you feel worse. So hopefully these things will make you feel better. And you'll notice things about yourself. If you're not finding you're getting things done, then that's an area maybe you need to address in your own personal life or at a different point. So we'll kick off now and get started on this. And I look forward to hearing your comments. You can either email me or, like I said, come through to the Facebook page. It's private, so anything you put there only the other members can see, and hopefully we can talk to each other, and you guys can also speak to each other and comment to encourage each other and motivate each other on. So the first thing I want you to write down is what areas of your life you feel you are procrastinating in. So remember, procrastination come in the form of just putting things off. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm such a procrastinator and I never do anything, or I'm never moving forward in my life. You're probably moving forward in lots of different parts, but there are probably areas that you're not moving forward in. So just write out the areas that you're looking at this point. Feel free to pause this audio as well while you do that, and then we can move on to the next section. After that, I want you to look at taking each area or aspect individually and describe how it makes you feel to keep procrastinating in that area. Sometimes you can actually feel like you're failing. Sometimes you can feel like you're not good enough, so you don't really deserve anything to happen. So when you're procrastinating, it just makes you feel even worse about yourself. So I really want you to delve into this part. So I'll give you an example of this. I procrastinate quite a lot, to be honest. And I generally do it when I'm in a period of actually needing a little bit more support or attention. So I seem to, and this is something I've had to do a lot of work on, to be honest, to even get the awareness of it in the first place, but I procrastinate on aspects in my personal life. So when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm feeling really, really stressed, when I feel I'm doing too much even for others, I find myself not wanting to stop doing things for other people, but instead I'm going to sabotage myself. So if I, for example, can't do my work, maybe because I'm prioritizing other people's needs, or I can't look after, you know, my own family, like my immediate family who lives in my home, because I'm putting other family members outside of my home first. I find myself procrastinating on things. And when I procrastinate, it's just a feeling of nearly just saying, I just can't deal with this. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm in a crisis mode and I need something to come in and help me. So actually what happens is I might procrastinate on my work. I might procrastinate on cleaning my house. And it's like I'm kind of sitting in myself and going, I just can't do this anymore. So I'm just going to procrastinate and I'm going to stop. But ultimately what happens is there are things that make me feel worse. I feel bad then by procrastinating on my work. I feel really bad if I'm not living, you know, in a tidy environment. I like my space clean and neat. And if I'm in something where you've just a few things are out of place, it puts me off. If there's clutter around, my headspace actually gets very, very, I suppose, stressed and very heavy when there's clutter within my living area. So actually what's happening is the procrastination, therefore, is one, making me feel worse about myself. Two, it's feeding into this feeling of negativity. And three, I'd feel emotionally down. I'd actually feel very upset and feel like I'm not really getting anywhere. So that's kind of what I want you to look at. When you're not moving forward with certain tasks, how does it make you feel? So you might feel frustrated, you might feel upset, but then go deeper than that again and look at emotionally what's going on. You know, like I was saying there, I'd feel like a failure. I feel unsuccessful. I feel like I'm not achieving. I also feel like it's all my fault that I'm not good enough. And because I wasn't good enough in the first place, I'm definitely not good enough now. So a ream of things can come up. So again, you can pause the audio at this point and take your time with this and come back to it if you need to do it. The next question we're going to look at is, what benefit do you get from procrastinating? Now, again, I talk a lot about benefits for things that we have in our life, and people will say, benefits, what in the name of God is a benefit? How would I be benefiting from not doing something that I actually want to do? Because when we're looking at procrastination, these are in areas that need sorting out for you to have a more secure life. So some people could be procrastinating around, say, financial security. You might say, I don't really care about finances, but actually you kind of need to have a comfortable life or to have a secure life where your bills are paid, where you're not feeling under stress. And then you got to look at the areas of procrastination that you want to achieve in. Could be setting up a business, for example. It could be changing job. It could be going after that relationship you want. So there's different forms again that it comes in. So the benefit from procrastinating, what is that? So I'll go back to my example that I gave you earlier on. And one of the benefits I get from procrastinating is that I can therefore say to people, I couldn't get that done because I've got so much stress going on in my personal life. And really what I'm looking for there is support, for someone to say, how are you feeling? What do you need me to do to help you? Instead of just saying, I'm overwhelmed, I need to say to somebody, can you give me a hand with dealing with this stuff in my personal life? So then I can go off and not procrastinate on the work that's actually very important to me, or my home, or my cleaning, or my family energy that's important. So sometimes we do get a benefit from procrastinating, but the benefit is we're looking for something else to come in. So when I procrastinate, it's because I'm looking for support. And the benefit I do get sometimes is I do get the support, but I'm not getting it in the right way, ultimately, and you see that. So again, pause the audio here and have a think about that. These are questions you might want to come back to after the audio. Next question I'd ask you to look at is, what disadvantage do you get from procrastinating? So again, the disadvantage is you don't move forward. You feel worse than you already did in the first place. You know, you're putting yourself under pressure. By putting things off, the to-do list becomes monstrous. The to-do list is not actually possible to do. And you're sitting there looking and saying, well, sure, I can't do anything at all. So these are elements I want you to look at when you're thinking of the disadvantages, okay? And again, you can pause the audio at this part. The next thing we're going to go through is listing the emotional reasons why you procrastinate. And this is something that links very much back into the questions we looked at earlier on, particularly the one of how it makes you feel to keep procrastinating. What are the advantages and disadvantages of procrastination for you? I've explained there as well, for me, one of the emotional reasons I procrastinate is because I need support, or because I need somebody to tell me that I'm good enough. And these are things that I don't feel. So I want you to take your time, particularly with this. You can pause the audio or come back to it at a different time. But then I want you to really, really think about, like, the emotional reasons behind your procrastination. Okay, what is going on? Sometimes we sabotage ourselves. Sometimes we know we should be doing something. So sometimes for me, like, in one particular area of my life, I know that I'd be quite talented and have a great ability to achieve a lot of success in one area of my life, but because I actually don't feel good enough, it's like I procrastinate to have an excuse or a reason for why this thing didn't work out for me. When ultimately, if I just went for it and didn't have all the fears and the emotional energy around it, I'd get there and don't need to procrastinate. And ultimately, I want to get there. So why do we send ourselves absolutely into a tailspin and don't allow ourselves to do it? Okay, now I want you to list the realistic reasons, okay, of why you procrastinate. And this is the stuff that actually on a day-to-day level that's there. So time constraints, I put down as an example here. Time constraints. I've actually got loads of children. I have a husband. I work full time. I work in a job that gives, you know, I have to work 16 hours a day, whatever it might be. I feel like I don't have the proper resources. I don't have, you know, really enough confidence to do it. And what I want you to write down is the realistic reasons. And as my husband always says to me, everything has a solution, albeit it can be a solution that's difficult to come to. But beside each one of those, I want you to write down how you might be able to combat that, or even meet yourself halfway, like compromising with yourself, okay? That's very important. And again, you can pause here. So the next really exciting part I wanted to move on to, and I find this is actually really great when I was putting this together, because like I said, I've done a lot of research on procrastination for my personal self. I loved finding these characters before around the types of procrastinator we are. Now, I've asked you here to which of these best describes a reason why you procrastinate, okay? And you may see yourself in a few of these characters. So which character I suppose best describes you? Okay, and what I would say here is there are 7 of them, okay? And you may see yourself in each of them or a few of them. So don't be afraid to write down all of the ones that relate to you either. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through each one individually and then look at ways that you could kind of overcome or help yourself to move forward with them, okay? So the first one is the avoider. You are avoiding fear of failure or even fear of success, okay? So one of the best ways to kind of look at overcoming this part is when you might be fearing failure. For example, if this relates to you, what I'd like you to do is write down. I always feel writing things down is a good way because it gets you to have to think. And then when you write it down, you remember it, and then you have something to refer back to. This is why they do the workbooks. So the fear of failure is, ask yourself why you think you're going to fail. Like, give yourself really realistic, legitimate reasons here why you think you will fail, okay? And then I want you to ask yourself, what would happen if you did fail? Actually, failure, life is made up of moments and moments and moments of failure. So I'd like you to write down what you think would happen if you fail. And then I'd like you to write down times that you did actually fail or not do as well as you thought you would do. And what did you do? How did you pick yourself up and move on? The next part then is the fear of success. One thing I read actually in a book by Doreen Virtue a few years ago, one of her angel books, was around success. And it was one of the times where I actually went, oh, it's okay for me to have success. You know, some of us feel we would love success, and success doesn't have to be a business or money thing. It can be personal success, happiness, a good relationship, you know, whatever it means to you. But that if you're successful, or let's say called happy and content in your life and in a really good place, it then motivates other people around you to be the same way. They'll look at you and say, how did you achieve that? So by being successful, you can actually help others. So sometimes it's good to look at it as a two-prong approach. Some people think it would be selfish for me to have full success or lots of money or a great life or a great relationship or great kids, great family, because other people can't have it or I shouldn't even have it. But actually, if you have it, you can help others to have it. And ultimately, we're all here to live a great life. So why wouldn't you want to be successful? So write down, if you were successful, why would you fear that happening? Do you think you're going to change your personality? Do you think life's going to suddenly be too different for you? Are you going to have to step out of your comfort zone? Whatever it is, if the avoider is someone that you recognize in yourself, okay? The next character you might line yourself up with is the worrier, okay? So the worrier is somebody, and if this is you, where many tasks seem risky or unnecessary, or you may even say to yourself, I prefer to stay in my comfort zone and avoid change altogether. So this is an interesting part, because worrying is something that makes us procrastinate. I'm so afraid of doing that. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of success. I'm afraid of that result that we talked about in the avoider. And avoider and worrier are very interlinked as well. So you have to kind of look at things. So a couple of ways we can look at doing that is learn to make realistic judgments about the time and effort required to complete the task. So be realistic in your approach, okay? Look at it from a realistic point of view. And when we worry, it generally is, I'm not saying all worry is unrealistic, but it's like fear. They call it false evidence appearing real. We are predicting the way we think something's going to go. So get realistic and figure out, is that really the way it's going to go or is it actually not, okay? And you can talk to someone or get help from somebody, you know, to bounce ideas off them, and maybe they can have a more objective view and help you. The next thing you can do is remind yourself that choosing not to make a decision about a task or action is itself a decision. Okay, so we all have the power of choice, and I talk about this a lot through my courses and teachings that I do. We have the power to choose a different thought, choose a different way. So actually, by choosing not to do something, you are making a decision. And ultimately, you're not avoiding change in that way because you're making that conscious choice. Be very clear and aware of your conscious decisions. Okay, so don't allow what-if thinking to take you out of action. So if you're like, well, what if this happens, worst case scenario? Or what if this worst case scenario happens? What you're doing is you're spending so much energy putting into the what-ifs, and you're not actually going out and trying to sort out the solution to get your task done overall. So again, you're taking an action, but it's not a good one. Okay? Break down your tasks into manageable parts to reduce the stress or the anxiety. So we're going to talk about this later on as well, but break it down. Make your big task smaller, little steps as we go along. Okay. And every day, because you might not like change or worry about change, do at least part of one thing you've been putting off because you're uncomfortable about it. So when we're breaking down the steps, and we're going to talk about the 5-minute rule later on, is even just putting 5 minutes a day into one thing that you're afraid of and get comfortable with it through very, very subtle and small changes. Okay? So that's something, if you're a worrier or that relates to you, that you can do as you move through. The next one is the overdoer. Okay, so the overdoer will probably find it difficult to prioritise and say no to demands on your time or demands from other people. And I definitely think I'm an overdoer. And it's funny, isn't it, when we talk about being an overdoer. I would say that when I procrastinate, I actually put things off, like we all do when we procrastinate. But when I'm putting those things off, I would tell myself I'm lazy and I'm no good. And yeah, one of the reasons I'm putting things off is because I'm doing so much for everybody else. So sometimes you'll find, as well as an overdoer, you take on too much and then you procrastinate on one task for the sake of completing all the others. And generally they're going to be tasks to benefit you. So if you are an overdoer, what I'd like you to do is recognise and respect your personal limitations. And this is about having healthy boundaries with people. This is about learning to say no. This is about giving as much energy to yourself as you do to others. And if not more to yourself than you give to others. Okay? Get a list of your priorities in life and put it somewhere. So maybe hang it on the fridge, maybe save it on your phone, put it on your laptop or a desktop, whatever it is. Okay? And make choices about your time in accordance with this list. So how you're going to schedule it in, which again is something we're going to talk about later on. Incorporate time to relax into your schedule and learn to enjoy it. Do not feel guilty about taking time for yourself. I read a really interesting article the other day on mindbodygreen.com, a great website. I read a lot of their articles. You might have a look for it. And it talked about how selfish, in inverted commas, people, you know, actually live longer and have happier and healthier lives because they are putting that energy into themselves. And I'm so glad there's so much on self-care and self-love and not being selfish, because selfishness to me and to many of us will definitely come across as being mean or unkind or never giving to anybody. But that's not actually what it's about. It's actually just about putting your needs first. And you can still give to others by doing that. And it goes back to what I said about success earlier on. To be successful, you can help other people be successful. What good are you going to be if you're completely worn out? You're not going to be able to help anybody. Okay, so do this and don't feel guilty. Focus your thoughts on how to gain personal control rather than how tasks control you. So this is another thing of feeling not in control. And as an overdoer, you won't feel in control because you're doing far too much and can't even probably grasp anything that's going on. Okay, so don't allow the task to take control of you. You can take control of them. And then the biggest one, which is learning to say no. Try saying a pleasant no every day. So it can be like, no, I'm sorry, I actually can't make it today, even though you might be able to. No, I'm sorry, I can't call over. No, I'm sorry, I can't take that call at the moment. Whatever it might be, just once a day, try that over the next 30 days. Okay, the next one is the defier. Okay, so the defier may kind of, as that saying goes, they want to defy themselves. They're always looking at the glass half empty, perhaps. So many tasks seem like an unfair or unnecessary use of your time and energy if you're a defier, and you prefer to maintain control over such situations and retain a sense of individuality. Okay, so the control thing comes back in. So a really good way to help with this is list your priorities in life, okay, and devote your energies accordingly. So what I would like you to do is list those priorities if you're a defier, and then rank them nearly in order, okay, of like which ones are more important and so on down the list. And put this list somewhere as well, okay? Reflect on the ways you could potentially respond to a task before action. Before acting. So look at the ways that you could solve this or get to a better place before actually taking the action, because that way you're not telling yourself you can't do it, you're telling yourself you can do it before you even step out to do it, okay? Strive to act rather than react, which is a good one. So reaction is, I can't do it, or having a temper tantrum about something, or defying yourself, you understand? So it giving yourself all the reasons and maybe getting angry, frustrated, annoyed at somebody. At the end of the day, take action. Don't take that type of action. Take the action that's going to serve you best. Okay? Learn self-calming strategies. How do you bring the stress levels down? Whether you breathe in and out for 5 minutes or 5 seconds even, you clench your fists really, really tightly and then gradually really release them. That's a really good exercise. And own up to your actions as well, especially if you did not complete a task you agreed to. Just own up to it, to yourself. There's no problem. If you're a crisis maker, you will feel that you work best under pressure and you enjoy the rush of working under a deadline on a task that might seem otherwise boring. Okay, so sometimes it's like, get everything done. I used to do this a lot when I was in college and I'd be studying. I would always cram at the end, spend the whole year having a great time, socialising and everything, and then it would come down to it. And I always did really well, I have to say. Always got really good results, and my friends would never understand because they'd be months and months studying. But it was the only way for me I could do it, because I'd cram everything in, I'd be under that rush, that adrenaline, I probably wouldn't sleep, I'd be drinking lots of energy drinks, and I would get through it and do very well. But it never felt good actually during the process. You know, when I got to it and I had to do it, it was fine. And the adrenaline kept me going, but it actually never felt good. And I used to be exhausted after exams. So the best thing if you're like this is to strive for moderation. We want balance here. So avoid speaking and thinking in dramatic language. So, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm under so much pressure. When is this going to end? That's what dramatic language is, okay? Remind yourself that you may not be interested in a task until you start it. So you can kind of say, I'll use the studying one, for example. Well, I don't really want to do the study. I have no interest in it. But actually, you just have to keep telling yourself why it's important for you to do it, while being realistic about why you don't want to do it. Okay, so identify motivators for a task and use them rather than using stress as a motivator. So, you know, motivators for exams are to pass them, to do well, to feel good going into an exam, not exhausted or high on energy drinks. So it's important for you to look at what motivating factors getting the task done is. Studying, having balance, having ease, having flow, and still doing very well, okay? And keep a record of how many crises you have, what triggered them, and how you reacted. So this is a good thing. Look it down at maybe some crisis things that have happened in your life, and look at how you reacted or how they made you feel. You'll be honest with you, not very good, probably, okay, which is not what we want. And that's something to definitely have a look at, because we're trying to look at the emotions, and sometimes we get into emotional patterns, which doesn't allow us to move forward. Okay. And the next one is regularly engage in other activities that give you that adrenaline rush. And I spoke about this. Instead of getting adrenaline from being under such pressure. And I have to say, actually, as a crisis maker, and I probably have a bit of that in me too, I used to do that in work a lot. I would, in my old job, let's say, I used to work to deadlines all of the time. And I used to work in law, and it was very, very pressurized. And you were always, like, on the ball and having to do things. But I used to find that that would give me an adrenaline as well. But I have to say, I get so stressed by it, and I would feel awful, and I'd feel negative towards myself. But the adrenaline kept me going. So if you're a crisis maker, find ways to actually use adrenaline in different other activities. So competitive sports or something like that, you know, or going to the gym or taking up a new hobby, but something that gives you that sense of adrenaline, but in a more healthy and balanced way, which would be wonderful. Next one is the dreamer, and I definitely have a little bit of this in me as well. And most of us, I think, do on some level, but it's where some other things are, it's better to dream than to think about the real life actions that you have to take. It's like, I don't want to go home and have to do 20 million tasks. I'd rather sit and dream about having a lovely yacht and sailing around the Bahamas, or going and sitting on the top of the mountain one summer evening and looking out over the city, whatever it might be for you. And then the other part that you might find is that it's difficult for you to plan details and or follow through the task. So this is a really good thing for you to do if you have a dreamer aspect of you, or if you're all of you is just dreamer. Is to try and differentiate between dreams that are vague and goals that are specific and measurable. So I would always say, and particularly I would hope to cover this next month in August, which is all about creation and manifesting. And a bit of you has to be dreamlike, I suppose, in that, and kind of seeing this potential of where things could be and what you want to create. But it also is about looking at, you know, what feels realistic to you. So if I said to you, oh, like, I'm going to use the yacht, for example, I'm going to have a yacht and I'm going to sail around the Bahamas. But in my system, that doesn't really feel good to me. It's a big, big dream. So I'd be rather off saying, I'm going to, like, have a little boat and sail around Ireland. Even fabulous. That's actually a fabulous thing to do. But it might seem more realistic for me to achieve that. So you need to differentiate between which is way too out there and which is something that you feel at this moment in time is achievable. The yacht might be achievable at a different time, but at this moment in time, okay? And then make that dream into a goal, like I said. So start off with the baby steps part of it. Sometimes we get so fixated on the conclusion of something, and I was taught this in life coaching. And what you can do then is kind of define what, when, where, who, why, and how you will complete this. The smaller dream towards your bigger dream, okay? Use an alarm as a way of reminding you to when to get up, when to get to work, you know, come out of that dreamlike state and get in, like, prioritizing your tasks and getting into some sort of schedule. But also schedule time for your daydreaming. Schedule time for your bigger goals, your bigger dreams. They're not bigger goals. The things you want to aim towards. It's carve out a time. Every time I'm on the bus, I'm going to have that as my dream time. Every time I'm walking to work, I'm going to have that as my dream time. You know, whatever it might be, every morning I'm having my breakfast, that's my dream time. Allow yourself to have that dream time so that when you come back into reality, you actually get your tasks done, okay? And the last one then is the perfectionist. So if you're a perfectionist, you might find it difficult to begin a task because the thought of getting every detail perfect is actually quite overwhelming. So you might be finding it just really overwhelming to think that you're actually going to get it done then as well, because you can start the task and you can find it hard to finish it because, again, you're trying to be perfectionist over every little detail. And as we know, like, there is no such thing as perfect. There's always going to be ebbs and flows of life that come in to make things better, but also to give us a different perspective on things. So I think this is a completely understandable way to be if you have that perfectionist character inside yourself. So really good thing to do here is focus on what's realistic rather than what's ideal. Okay, so the idealism around what is perfectionism to you. So what might be perfect to me may not be perfect to you, and vice versa. So focus on the realistic, okay? Seek support from others before you put yourself under too much pressure. So if you are seeking a level of perfectionism or getting things to that really lovely ideal level, okay, of what's realistic, and working towards excellence rather than perfection can be really good to bring other people on board and spread around, I suppose, delegated, for want of a This is a perfect time to delegate or to give other people some tasks to help you out that may be of support to you. And again, then you can go for that level of excellence rather than that level of perfection. Deliberately make one mistake a day. You might find this hard if you're a perfectionist, but getting to grips the fact that it's okay for not everything to go perfect. Perfectionism can come in around elements of control, like feeling like not that you're a controlling person, but that you need to be in control for things to go right. So I suppose by making a mistake and seeing that actually it's okay and my world didn't fall apart, it gets you to feel more comfortable with that. Make daily to-do lists with small, broken down tasks that give you a complete on a given day so that you can work towards something, tick the box off and say, great, I did perfect with that. Commit to rewarding yourself for goal setting and achieving your realistic goals, and we're going to talk about that later on as well. So they are the characters that can bring in types of procrastinators, and I would say that you have seen yourself, maybe like I said earlier, in all of those, and if that's relevant for you, that's absolutely no problem. And these are the different things that you can do to help. So having listened to that, now what I want you to do is take time, again, pause this audio, and now you've identified which type of character or characters you are in relation to procrastination, and having listened to this class, what can you do to help yourself with this? So going back over the things I've said and what you've identified, what can you do now to help yourself because of the character that you are? Okay, and take your time with that. So as you're moving through this audio class, we're going to carry on to complete some more workbook writing with this as well. So then it's important to break down what tasks you actually want to achieve, okay? Looking at what time frame you would like to achieve these in. And then realistically, what time can I give to this? So for example, one of my tasks could be, I would like to lose weight. What time frame would I like to achieve these in? You could say, I'd like to lose weight in 6 months. Okay, and realistically, what time can I give to this? So I can work on my healthy eating every day, but realistically, I'm very time constrained at the moment, so I can only give myself 2 nights a week from 7 to 8 on a Monday and 8 to 9 on a Thursday that I can really do some aerobic exercise that's going to help with that, and so on. Another task could be, is I want to change job. I'd like to have changed job in 3 months. But at the moment, I'm working, 12-hour days, so my time is very limited. So maybe I need to take 1 hour over the weekend or 2 half-hour slots, one on a Saturday and one on a Sunday morning from half 10 to 11 a.m. And I'm going to work on looking for jobs on the Saturday from half 10 to 11 a.m. and on the Sunday from half 10 to 11 a.m. I'll apply for 2 jobs. So that's something else that you can look at, okay? But be realistic with this. So you can work through those as well. One of the really best things as well for helping you achieve your task is to set up rewards. These rewards are really good for giving you a sense of achievement, for making you see that once you set up a task, you don't procrastinate on it, you complete it, even if it's the smallest task. And one of the tasks today could be to listen to this class, to finish your workbook. But that you've put a reward in place. So a reward could be you might save, €5 towards a new top that you want. So every time you do a task, you could set yourself 10 tasks, €5 every task, that's €50. You could have a nice meal out, you could treat yourself to the cinema, you could treat yourself to a new thing you wanted for your home. It doesn't have to be materialistic either. It could be that you allow yourself to have a night in with friends, but something that brings some joy or creativity, or you're going to spend an hour painting because that's what you're going to deserve and give yourself the time for that. Well, we talk about rewards, we also need to talk about penalties, okay? And what I want you to look at is what penalties you'll put in place for not achieving your tasks. Now, I really want to be careful around being self-compassionate and having self-forgiveness, because I don't think putting pressure on yourself is actually going to help you, achieve your goals. It's going to make you feel worse about yourself and then you procrastinate more. But like a penalty could be that I'm going to take one of my rewards away from my other task that I did complete as a penalty. Okay, so for example, if you said I'm going to put €5 away for a top if I, apply for one job per week. So say over the next couple of weeks you've applied for 4 jobs and you've €20 saved, so €4 or €5 are saved. And then you don't complete one of your tasks, maybe you take back out one of the €5. Things like that. Or I'd planned a night out with friends. I'm not going to do that now. I'm only going to go for half the night. Or I was going to buy those two candles, but I'm only going to buy one candle now. Stuff like that. But it's just important because then you're getting to see the good and the bad of implementing the tasks, following them through, and actually not procrastinating. So what tasks can I implement the 5-minute plan in? So the 5-minute plan is very, very simple. It is literally trying to commit to doing 5 minutes of a simple step towards your bigger plan. So again, if it's around time constraints or just around proving to yourself that you can actually not always put things off. So we'll go back to maybe looking for a new job, for example, or maybe you want to set up a new business. So for 5 minutes a day, you spend time on that. 5 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, but you could brainstorm in 5 minutes. You could search for jobs in 5 minutes. You know, there's plenty of things you could do, but I like that. Today I'll give 5 minutes to that. And when you see how easy it is to give 5 minutes, you might give 10 sections of 5 minutes over the day. Give 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, another 5 minutes, another 5 minutes. And all of a sudden you spend 50 minutes on something over the course of the day, but you've broken it down. The next part is, what signs, wording, images can I use to motivate myself? And what you can do with this is, you can say, like, this is where I did the screensaver. So that's an image that you can have on your phone as a constant reminder of why you're doing what you're doing. And I thought this one's screensaver is really good because it talks about not putting things off and doing it now. So that's a constant reminder. Wording as well is, you could change your passwords. So every time you have to enter your password, it could say, do it now, or succeed, or, you know, you're good enough, or something like that. And whatever signs, so you might have the to-do list hanging around the place, you might have motivational images hanging around the place. I'm in the course of trying to lose weight, so I have a gorgeous girl in a beautiful dress on my fridge, and then beside her I have another girl with like loads of fruit, and she's just come from the gym, and, you know, has her like her gym gear and all this fruit and bottle of water, and it's just like a reminder of where I want to be. So these images and signs and wording to constantly remind you what you're working towards, okay? Then I want you to write down how you can be compassionate to yourself during this process. So this can be stuff like the rewards, that's compassion. Giving yourself a break, as in literally giving yourself guilt-free time out. Writing down a letter of self-forgiveness, which is important. And I think that's actually one of the things on your 30-day planner that I've given, so there you go. Also, like, giving yourself time off. And I don't just mean, like, guilt-free time off. I just mean time out for you to just be. That's compassion. Self-care is compassion, okay? Also, a great mantra you could say over the course of the next 30 or 31 days, as we are in July, is, I am in the process of forgiving myself. And what this mantra does is, I am in the process of forgiving myself. So that you're allowing yourself to forgive yourself for the things maybe you've procrastinated on in the past and haven't achieved. Okay, so you do have choice and you don't have to be under pressure. So how can you remind yourself of this daily? You have the power to choose, and you can choose a lack of pressure. So how can you remind yourself of this daily? So again, what signs or signals can you put in as a reminder to be compassionate? And what guilt or shame do you have around not completing tasks, and how can you free yourself of this? And that fits into that self-compassionate stuff, the letter of forgiveness, all of that. It's kind of just repeating it to really, really reaffirm it to yourself. Okay, so as you go down, the next question is, can I focus on getting started rather than finishing? Sometimes we get so fixated on the end result. And, you know, when I was studying life coaching, as I was starting to say earlier on, and I think I went off topic there, we were taught that a lot of people have like an end goal or an end conclusion, and they only see one way of achieving something. When they do that, they're kind of putting all their eggs in one basket, and then of course failure comes in, and a feeling of not being worthy or not being good enough. So we always focus on that. So what about just focus on actually starting it? And then when you get started, then focus on getting some steps done. Then when you get the steps done, focusing on the end result at that point. What inspired action can you take from today regarding your tasks? So inspired action to me is action that feels good to your system. So if I am trying to lose weight, I don't actually like going to the gym. So therefore, if I take that action step to go to the gym, I'm more than likely not go, not exercise, procrastinate on it, not lose weight, and so on and so on and so on, because I won't actually want to do it because it doesn't feel inspired to me. It doesn't feel good to my soul. I love walking. I love aqua aerobics. So they're the things that I need to do. And they're action steps that feel good to my system and feel like I really, really want to do them. So therefore, I'll continue to do them. Sometimes we look at these things that people suggest that we should do, but they don't feel good to us. And we force ourselves to do them. And this is why we end up failing or stopping a couple of sessions in or a couple of weeks down the road. Okay, so how can you break your tasks down into smaller tasks? So take those big tasks and let's work on the action steps to get you there. And the final step is, how can you have fun doing your tasks? So I talked about taking inspired action as an element of fun, but how can you make it fun? Bring somebody else in on board. Do this with somebody else this month. Get people on board to help with you, you know, where you might have a buddy to do something with. Have fun. Involve some creativity. Get some colouring pencils. Get back to being your childlike self. Whatever brings fun to you, try and incorporate that into your task or into your action steps around your tasks, and guarantee you, you'll feel a lot much better. So to finish off this audio class, I just want to say you can do this one step at a time, and that's what it's about. It's a series of steps to get you to where you want to be, and a series of steps to get you started, first of all, like we said, and then the series of steps to get you finished. So I love to hear how you're going to get on. Please do come across to the Facebook group and comment, or let me know how you're getting on and we can interact in that way. And again, I'll be in touch with you about the goal setting session and the Q&A for July. And we will all chat then, and I'm really looking forward to that. So best of luck with this. Let's see how many of us can try not to procrastinate. I'm going to be following this myself this month, so I'll let you know how I'm getting on with that. And I wish you the best of luck, and see you over in the Facebook group. Thank you.